Let's face it, most people aren't making massive turkey feasts on the regular. And after 364 days of not thinking about it, it can be hard to get that bird just right. That's where Instacart, the holiday rescue app, comes in. From getting all the ingredients to prep a full seasonal spread to getting last-minute swaps in a turkey emergency, Instacart has everything a holiday host needs to save face and save dinner. And right now, if you download Instacart, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders and delivery in as fast as 1 hour. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to us across all of your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Make sure if you don't follow me on Instagram and Twitter, we give you a lot of content during the show, before the show, after the show as well. Sports things, non-sports things. Radio things, real life things. Make sure you give me a follow right now at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. All righty. I'm going to get to a potential reunion with Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. But I just want to see if the two of you guys, in Moist Mike and Carlos Ortiz, can guess who the top five highest odds are to get Russell Wilson, who's expected at the end of the year to just be outright released, and then he'll be on the market to go sign with the new team. So it's not the Seahawks. The Seahawks right now are 33-1. But who do you think the top five highest odds are for Russell Wilson's next team to be by week one of the 2024 season? And this via Bet Online. Take some guesses.
All right, let's go with the Commanders.
They are in at number three. The Commanders are at three at 7-1.
How about the Atlanta Falcons?
They are outside of the top five.
Wow. Shocking.
Well, actually, they're tied for fifth.
Okay.
They are tied for fifth. So technically, you did get one right there.
Okay. How about the New York Football Giants?
They are tied for fifth as well.
Okay.
With the Bears.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
They are tied for fifth as well.
Yeah. Okay.
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that are at 8-1.
Wow.
You would figure they would give like a little bit of an edge to one team over the other.
How about in division, the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yes, the Raiders are in at 4 at 7-1. So the same odds as the Commanders. So you're missing the top two here.
All right, I'm going to look AFC South, either the Colts or the Titans. Or either of them.
Well, remember, the Colts are getting back Anthony Richardson.
Okay, so not the Colts. Let's go with the Titans.
No, they are not in the top five because you're going to think they're going to continue to rock and roll with Will Levis. You have an AFC and an NFC. One is 5-1. The other is 6-1.
All right, I'm going to go with your team if they can't draft a quarterback, the New England Patriots.
That would be correct in a number two at 6-1. And let me be clear about this. I just defended Russ for about 20 minutes. I will be ill. I would projectile vomit live on the radio if I get an alert that Russell Wilson is the next quarterback of the Patriots. Because you are in a spot, New England, where there is no more just be 7, 8, 9 wins, you know, maybe here and there get to the playoffs. I either want you to be great or I want you to be horrible. And let's say Bill Belichick is still there, they could be serviceable with Bill Belichick and Russell Wilson. They would need to add some talent because the Patriots, I don't even think anyone can name the wide receivers that they have, even Steve Smith. I saw this on the NFL Network before their game on Christmas going up against the Broncos. He was like, oh, yeah, Kendrick Bourne's going to make a big play for them. Well, he's out for the year with an injury. And then he brought up Juju Smith-Schuster, who's also injured as well. So you can't even name the Patriots wide receivers. But I would not want Russell Wilson because it's a stopgap guy. Like, my team is not good enough because they stink to have a stopgap guy. Like, there are teams that I've advocated for that a stopgap guy could be the difference of you missing the playoffs and making the playoffs. My team stinks, and Russell Wilson is a stopgap guy. So, Bill Belichick, whoever the new coach is going to be, if you bring in Russell Wilson, I was about to say something that I wouldn't believe. I was about to say I would have to reevaluate my fandom, but I can never stop rooting for my football team. I mean, it can't happen.
It's very easy.
Yeah, and you're a fraud.
Yeah. I will ask you this one question, though. Let's say Russ is an option there.
Oh.
Would you rather him there with or without Bill Belichick?
It would have to be with Bill Belichick.
I agree. Right? Like, with all the rumors of Belichick being gone, if you pair Belichick and Russ,
you have to blow
I think there
up.
Would be some sort of combination there.
Like, if you get rid of Belichick, you are fully committing to the rebuild. You keep Belichick, I think you're trying to expedite the rebuild, and it's very tough to expedite a rebuild. And as much as I love Bill, and these players still play for Bill, you've seen that up against the Steelers, you've seen that up against the Broncos. Like, I know the Patriots aren't good, but they have not quit on Bill Belichick yet. Like, a lot of the media, a lot of the fans, a lot of the analysts have quit and said he's done at the end of the year, but the players have not quit on him. But yeah, if you're bringing in Russ, which, once again, first off, that's funny on many accounts. Russ would be joining the team that the biggest mistake of his career was made up against that team, Seahawks and Patriots, with the Malcolm Butler interception. And then also, it would just be like, what's the point? Like, how do you sell me on this? How do you sell me on believing that Russell Wilson would be good for the Patriots?
I feel like Bill Belichick has been humbled enough, and so has Russ, to a point where they're both legends, or not legends, they're both greats, right?
Bill's a great. Russ is very good.
I mean, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. That's
okay.
That's great.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right? He's the GOAT, or right up there with the GOAT, and he's a borderline Hall of Famer. They've both been a little bit humbled, but they both know how to win. They both, I feel like they would have similar kind of outlooks. Like, Belichick is no nonsense. He's just like, go out there and play and win. And Russ, while he's cheesy, he's just like, he just wants to play football. Like, I know he has, like,
does
all this
he,
stuff. No, but, like
he
we
cares more about
this,
his icon and, like, being, like, this brand than I think being a football player.
But do we, outside of the Subway commercials, do we really see him, like, building that brand?
Do you see those TikTok dances that he's done?
But I mean,
cringeworthy.
Does he do them that often anymore? I haven't really seen them in a while.
But he thought, like, Russell Wilson was this entity.
Right,
and, like,
I think he's been LLC.
Yeah. Where he just walked into Denver, and it's like, oh, you guys are the team, and I'm a part of the team, but I'm different than everybody else.
Right,
and
but
I'm
I think
not saying
he's been
your quarterback. I'm not saying your quarterback can't have an ego, because all quarterbacks have ego. But eventually an ego becomes insufferable. Like, have we heard any player, and I know it's because why, number one, it won't happen is because you're not going to speak against a move that Sean Payton made if you want to still be a part of the Broncos. But has anyone really rushed to the defense of Russell Wilson? Like, there's not a lot of powerful voices in that locker room. Who? Garrett Bowles, Patrick Surtain, and Justin Simmons? Like, it took until the coach getting fired and the final 2 weeks of the season last year for that team to dress up that they actually cared about Russ. And that's, like, even though I think Sean handled this more poorly than Russ did this year, I don't know how Russ connects to a locker room. And I don't believe that Russ connects well with a locker room, because no one's really defending him in Denver. And the guys that he won with, guys that he won a Super Bowl with, they all celebrated and threw a fiesta at the downfall of Russell Wilson last year. And I think with Bill, I understand what you're saying, Samter, to some point, that Russ and Bill, like, Bill's a legend, Russ is a really good player, like you said, borderline Hall of Famer, that there's a respect that you have for one another, but just that respect isn't enough for me. Like, you need to, with a situation that's not good, have more than just the respect for your coach. You need to lead that locker room. And I don't trust Russell Wilson to lead a locker room. I don't right now. All righty, so you got the Patriots. Who do you think that the highest odds are?
I mean, I'm looking at the
teams.
You
guessed a lot
of
teams.
I mean,
it's an NFC team.
I'm looking at the Vikings, the Bears, the Saints.
You said one of the teams.
Vikings.
Yeah, 5-1.
I don't get that. If I'm the Vikings, why am I trading Kirk Cousins for Russell Wilson?
So I would rather have Kirk Cousins. I guess the theory would be, you have to pay Justin Jefferson this offseason, kind of what you were saying earlier in the show, where quarterbacks should take less money so you could spread out the dollars amongst the rest of the team so you could go win. You still got to pay Justin Jefferson. I would don't get me wrong, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than Russell Wilson. I'm just trying to justify why the odds would be this high. And you would have Russ in a dome with significant better talent than he has in Denver. You would have Russ with Justin Jefferson, Addison, a good number three wide receiver in KJ Osborne, Hockenson coming off an injury. Like, I could see. I don't think it would be the right move for Minnesota because I think you'd be downgrading, but I could see Russ having success in Minnesota. Like, I could see them being a playoff team next year if he goes to Minnesota.
Sure, but I could see them also being a playoff team with Kirk Cousins. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
Well, be for a cheaper deal, that's why.
Yeah, and I mean, is Russell Wilson really going to be that much cheaper? I mean,
yeah.
Like maybe it's $30 million versus $25 million. Like, it's not going to be a significant difference. It's going to be a difference, but not significant.
It's going to be significant. All I will say is, and let me just reread something that was sent to me yesterday by someone in the know. Yeah. It was talking about how the person I was talking to, who knows what he's talking about in this situation, that's as far as I could go. He made it clear to me that Russ will be a bargain next year with the deal that he's going to get because of how much money Denver owes him and how this is going to be like a setup kind of situation to get one more big deal or potentially somewhat big deal out of Russell Wilson. I think it would be a significant difference from what Kirk Cousins is going to get to what Russell Wilson is. Because remember, Russ's stock, it's very low. Like, it's
Sure.
You had a dispute with Pete Carroll. Pete took Geno Smith to the playoffs, potentially in back-to-back years. The Seahawks still have to make the playoffs this year. He goes to Denver. He didn't even get to the actual extension. And they already have given up on him. And say what you want about Sean Payton and him just being a pretentious human being in Denver this year. He still has respect in the NFL. And now it's like you're getting cut, and there's a lot of fan bases that are going to be like, oh, we don't want Russ. And not only is it fans, you had former players that were celebrating in the demise of Russell Wilson. So I guess that would be the only way for Minnesota to justify it is the cost difference. And who knows, like, what happens? I know Brock Purdy's playing great ball this year, and the 49ers love Brock Purdy. But what happens you get to the playoffs and Brock Purdy is just terrible? And I mean terrible. And you know that Shanahan, for years, has tried to get Kirk Cousins to the 49ers. Like, if I'm Kirk Cousins and the 49ers, and I do think Brock's going to be there, but just for the sake of it, if Kyle called me, I'm like, thank you, Minnesota. Love you. But I'm going to San Francisco. Because Kirk Cousins could win a Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers. He ain't going to win a Super Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings. And then you're Minnesota, you're scrambling because if you don't get someone that's competent, and Russ is still competent, he's not good, he's not great, but he's competent. If you don't get someone that's competent in the interim, then you run the risk of Justin Jefferson getting PO'd with your organization and then wanting out as well. So I guess that would be, like, I don't anticipate him to be the Vikings quarterback, because I do think it's going to be Kirk Cousins next year. But I guess I could see a path or a road where it could be an option. But the number one option, I'm surprised. Like, the fact that the Vikings and the Patriots are the betting favorites right now is crazy to me. I would think it would have been more so the Commanders, the Raiders, the Falcons, and the Steelers as well. And Russ may have to wait a little bit.
And the fact that your dark horse team is not even on that list.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Let's bring them up. I saw Mike Florio wrote about this. And I know a lot of people are bashing Florio these days. I will not. I like Mike Florio. I'm a fan of Mike Florio. Mike Florio just threw it out there. What about a return for Russell Wilson to Seattle? And I did see today, Russell Wilson to Seattle, 33-1 odds. It's a long shot. I would love to see that happen. Like, we talked about it yesterday. What would be the most intriguing destination? We're like, oh, go to the Raiders. You get to go up against the Broncos twice a year. Oh, that's going to be fun. It would be going back to Seattle. Now, Russ, you'd really have to have your ego take a hit. You'd really have to swallow your pride and check that ego at the door. But if you're telling me what's in the best interest of Russell Wilson's career, it's going back to Seattle. And it would be listening more to Pete Carroll. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have a guy by the name of DK Metcalf. Also Tyler Lockett. Oh, and, yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be a really damn good player in this league. Short deal. Yeah, you basically have to say, Schneider, you were right. Carroll, you were right. We're not going to let Russ cook. We're going to go back to doing things your way. I would like to see that reunion. And maybe that reunion can start to, and it would be tough because those former Seahawks players, they danced on the grave of Russell Wilson.
But maybe they're still former players.
But restore the relationships if Russ goes back and treats Pete Carroll the right way. I would want to see that happen. I think that would actually be good. And, you know, I know Seahawks fans will say, well, what about Geno Smith? Geno's fine. Like, he's good. I don't think Pete Carroll would do it. And probably, well, actually, I think Pete Carroll would do it. Because that's like the ultimate ego play for Pete. I just don't think Russ would do that. You know what it would be? You're in a long relationship, like 7-8 years. And then something went wrong and you just can't recover from it. And sometimes people get back together with people after a divorce or a breakup. It happens in this world. But I think what happened between Russ and Pete was so bad and so ugly that I don't think Russ could go back into that home and be like, oh, I'm back. And everything's back to normal. Here I am. I've returned with my luggage. Let me get my bed back. Let me get, you know, my spot on the sofa back. I just don't think Russ could do that. Because Russ lost. Russ was the one that got humiliated. It would almost be like, Samter, I know you and your wife are happily married, but I'm just going to use it as an example. It would almost be as if your wife cheated on you and your wife was in the wrong. And then she showed up one day and was like, I want to get back together. And 2-3 years happened. And like you've since moved on. I think it's very tough. And I'll use Russ as the one like who kind of cheated here in this extent in the argument. I think it's very tough to accept the cheater back or even have the cheater walk back into that home and have the guts to say, hey, I want to get back together with you. So now I don't want to put any bad thoughts out there with you and your missus. All right.
Yeah. I'll plead the fifth, but I will just say, I honestly don't think that I don't know if Russell Wilson is a significant upgrade over Geno Smith or
it's
even
fair.
An upgrade at all.
It's fair.
It's so interesting to me. It would be funny to see it back together, but if I'm the Seahawks, I probably want to stick with Geno.
Well, it'd be one thing if Geno was just horrible. But Geno's like, if we're talking about Russ being a stopgap guy, Geno's a good enough stopgap guy. But Pete wanted Russ to change towards the end. Russ didn't change. Now if he does change, like, does that recreate a little magic? Right? Because I'm not comparing these two guys directly, but look where Kyrie's wanted to go back to for so many years. He wanted to go back to playing with LeBron. And it just has never happened. Is this like Russ's way of saying, okay, I got to go back where I wanted? Like, Kyrie wanted to be the number one on a team. He wanted to be the guy. And then he realized, oh, man, I had it pretty damn good. Is that Russ moment going to create a little fountain of youth for him if he did go back to the Seattle Seahawks? I'd be curious. I don't have the answer to it, but I would be curious about it. Would you want to see a Russell Wilson reunion with the Seattle Seahawks? I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. My man Deebo Samuel, he's having some phone issues. I know what it's like to have some phone issues with Deebo Samuel. We'll get into this Deebo versus Cam next when we return.
Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour. All in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
You can stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. So, Bengals and Chiefs. We kind of thought that would actually, like, have juice, right, before the start of the season. Duh. All right, they've met in the AFC Championship game twice. Those games are always good games. The Chiefs have been the one team that, right, they've always been the team that everyone's hunting. And the Bengals have been there, that one team that has been a pain in their rear end and has been their kryptonite. And Kansas City, I know they won the AFC Championship game last year, but at one point they were on a three-game losing streak to Cincinnati. So there wasn't a lot of juice heading into this one because, like, the Chiefs are fine, but they can't catch the football. And Cincinnati's without Joe Burrow. And we didn't know if Ja'Marr Chase was going to play in this game or not. I saw the other day he did not practice on the first Bengals and Chiefs injury report, but Ja'Marr Chase was speaking at his locker, I guess like 30 minutes ago, and he said, if I'm being honest, nothing. It's not really like they got a Jalen Ramsey on their squad. When he was asked to discuss what stands out with the Chiefs defense. So I got to hear the entire thing, and it just was going viral right now during the last break. So if he's talking about the secondary, okay. Like, if that's what you want to say, that's fine. Like, there's no great players in their secondary. But if it's the entire defense, what about that guy, Chris Jones? He's one of the better defensive linemen in the league. Not just, like, the best defensive player of the Chiefs, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. So I don't really love that. Well, I do love it because it makes the game actually entertaining. But Ja'Marr Chase, now you better play. And you better light it up. And we'll see what happens this week with Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So, Samter, just real quickly, because you're now a Fugazi Chiefs fan. That game is in Kansas City. So I like these comments now even more because now you have Ja'Marr Chase going to Arrowhead and he's going to get it from Chiefs Kingdom. If the Chiefs lose this weekend to the Cincinnati Bengals, are you officially out on the Kansas City Chiefs? If they go to 9-7, are you out on Kansas City?
No. Why would I be out?
Because they would be 9-7.
They're the defending champions. They've been to three Super Bowls or whatever in
4 years.
4 years. They've won two. Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate equalizer.
Yeah.
No, of course not. We've seen teams who are 9-7 make and win Super Bowls. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, but
Listen, the Dolphins look nice. I don't have faith in them. Certainly don't have faith in the Bills.
But why do you have faith in Kansas City outside of Mahomes?
Because they've done it twice in 4 years, and they have Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now, and will go down as the GOAT of all time. Sorry, Tom Brady.
You're an idiot. You really are.
We're going to have conversations in 15 years where everyone's going to say Brady has the better resume, but if you had to build a team and who do you want to be your quarterback,
Brady.
Who is the greatest quarterback of all time,
Brady.
It would be Patrick Mahomes.
Brady.
There's
not
talent
even close.
And there's resume.
Yeah. And
I'm telling
Mahomes,
you right now, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Mahomes will always lose this argument for two reasons. Number one, he is not getting to seven Super Bowls. But number two, AFC Championship game, when the Chiefs had a better team. Chiefs and Patriots. Brady wins. Super Bowl. Bucks. Chiefs. Brady wins. So Brady beat Mahomes. Will have more rings. Beat Mahomes in an AFC title game. And then also Super Bowl. Now, I'm going to put this conversation not only on the back burner. I'm going to like crumble it up and just throw it all the way down the hall. Because to have this conversation now is quite frankly just disrespectful. To even say that it's going to happen right now is disrespectful to the legendary Tom Brady, who had three NFL Hall of Fame careers in one. So we're going to stop there. You really know how to just get me going and get me annoyed. on a Thursday. Like, I'm supposed to be in a good mood tonight. I'm going out with a few friends. We're going to a local establishment. Going to get some wings. Going to get some beer. Go watch some football. We're going to see the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to go with a bunch of Jet fans to see the Cleveland Browns just annihilate them. And I'm in, like, a good mood today. And as Emmitt Smith would say, you just got me hot. Hey, you just got me hot.
You and your friends are going to be having this conversation. Like I said, there's resume and then there's talent. Yeah. And there's resume and then who is the actual better quarterback.
Okay.
Right? Terry Bradshaw has a great resume. Mm-hmm. He's not a top 15 quarterback in the NFL history.
I'll tell you this. Brady ain't 9-6 with this Chiefs team. He ain't 9-6. I've seen Tom Brady win with not a lot of great talent. I've seen Tom Brady with Doug Gabriel and Rishay Caldwell get to an AFC championship game. I've seen that.
I've seen Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, and Travis Kelce.
And Isaiah Pacheco, a seventh-round running back. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
We'll have this conversation all
along. David Patton, David Gibbons, Troy Brown.
Brady will have the better resume. Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback. It's at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, you're wrong on many football things. You'll continue to be wrong on many more football things going into the future.
But anyway, to your question, I'm not worried about them being 9-7.
It is amazing to me how you legitimately have no fear about Kansas City when a defense that we thought was really good is solid, is fine. You know, I like Spags. And then offensively, their line has not been great. Their receivers can't catch a cold. And Isaiah Pacheco is honestly, outside of Mahomes and Kelce, their next most valuable offensive player, and that dude's injured like every other week.
I'm not saying that I have no concern. Of course I have concern.
You're relying on Rashee Rice.
No, I'm not saying that there's no concern for the Chiefs. I certainly have concern for my boys. However, if you're looking at the rest of the NFL or the AFC, I'm not trusting the Jags, the Colts, or the Texans out of the South.
Baltimore,
right?
Hello.
You look at the Bengals, it's Jake Browning. You look at, you know, the Steelers, I'm not trusting them. The Browns, I know you love the Browns, but I'm not fearing Joe Flacco. The only team I'm really worried about is Baltimore. The Dolphins, you know me, I'm all in on Tua. I'm still not overly concerned about Tua and the Dolphins because they haven't shown it. And Tua and the Dolphins have shown that they've fallen in big games outside of the Cowboys game because they went against a team that chokes worse than them. And then you have the Bills who, if the Bills are what they're showing they have been over the past few weeks, then they're dangerous. However, right now, the only team I'm really worried about is the Ravens. And even with that, as much as I love Lamar, as much as I want Lamar to win a Super Bowl, Lamar is the guy I'm rooting for the most. That's the guy who I want to win the most this year.
And right now, I trust Lamar Jackson, because it only really takes 21 points to beat Kansas City. Kansas City, like, can't put up 21 points. I trust Lamar Jackson to get... I trust actually quite a few teams. Even if I gave you Kansas City home field advantage, and I've been critical of the Dolphins, and the Dolphins lost to Kansas City in a game that should have never been played in Germany, but was played in Germany. Dolphins, and they wouldn't have to go into Kansas City, but let's just say for the sake of it, Dolphins go into Kansas City, I trust the Dolphins. Bills have to go into Kansas City, I trust the Bills. The Ravens have to go into Kansas City, I trust the Ravens. You know what? Because of their defense, I trust the Browns too. I trust the Browns too. And that's where I would draw the line in the sand. Everybody else, I wouldn't really trust. But those are four teams there.
You're trusting Joe Flacco over Patrick Mahomes.
But here's what you're missing. Here's what you're missing. It's not that I'm trusting Joe Flacco over Patrick Mahomes. We all know Patrick Mahomes is better. I know what it's like to be in the penthouse. I know what it's like to be in this spot where everyone's doubting you. And some years, when people doubted Tom Brady, it was fair. Other years, it was flat out ridiculous. And this Chiefs team, they are the 2019 Patriots, where the record looked good. Oh, Brady was going to turn it around. But when you don't have the weapons, and Julian Edelman, not the same player as Travis Kelce, but Julian Edelman was banged up. Kelce is clearly banged up, or he's declining right in front of our eyes. When your guy isn't the guy and you have nothing else, you ain't going to find the way to get to where you used to going. Now, don't get me wrong. I would not want to see Kansas City in the playoffs because it's Mahomes and it's Reed. I'd rather have another option, but I don't think they're getting to the Super Bowl. Alrighty, real quickly, let me get Deebo Samuel as I crumpled up my piece of paper and threw it across the room because I was just annoyed with what Samter was saying. Let me get Deebo Samuel on with Kay Adams responding to Cam Newton and also Micah Parsons, I guess always talking about the 49ers.
First of all, Cam Newton, stop touching my phone, bro. He was a fan like 2 weeks ago. Like, that's mad crazy. Like, you wanted me on your podcast after talking about my quarterback, which is funny to me. But anyway, back to this Michael Parsons story. Like, bro, we beat you 42 to, like, whatever the score may be. Like, a long time ago, like, I don't get why he's so bothered about what we got going on over here, whatever the case may be.
So then here is Cam responding to the claim from Debo that Cam has been blowing up Debo's phone to try to get him on Cam's podcast.
You must stop the cap, bro. Now, my point is this. You said something like, Cam, stop calling my phone. I'm like, I don't got your number.
I love that from Cam. Because Debo played the card that, oh, you're trying to basically be a fanboy and you're trying to suck up to me and then you're ripping my quarterback, like, screw you. And then Cam's like, who? Debo? Like, not for nothing. I don't think Cam's a Hall of Famer. But Cam was electric in a short period of time on a football field, and he has done a lot more in this league than what Debo Samuel has done. So, Cam, you may not agree with this opinion, but he's entitled to his opinion. And he is allowed, even if he did, which he didn't, hit up Debo Samuel after maybe talking crap or just saying that Brock Purdy is a system quarterback. So Debo then screenshots the messages from Cam. But here's the problem. It was a prank. A bunch of high school kids had Debo's number, and they even did the Cam font that everyone knows what I'm talking about, and they were sending text messages pretending to be Cam to Debo. And selfishly, I love it. Because Debo Samuel hung up on me when he was begging for Ashley, his publicist. Oh, hang up the phone. Hang up the phone on Zach. Do so. He's asking me about the Eagles. I don't like it. Well, where was Ashley? Ashley needs to be with Debo 24/7 when he's on the phone. Because now there's no order here. Debo, you didn't have Ashley to beg for, and now all of a sudden, you got some high school kids pranking you, pretending to be Cam? Oh, Debo, you dropped the ball on this one. And it's a little karma. It's a little Zach Gelb show karma. How dare you hang up the phone on me? How dare you? Oh, I love it.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What did he ask you about? What did you ask him about in regards to the Eagles that made him so mad?
So he ended up being right where he said if Brock Purdy didn't get hurt,
yeah,
they would have blown out the Eagles.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just simply asked him, like, why do you think that? Because I was genuinely curious. And then I followed it up with, he gave me a short answer. I go, oh, well, it sounds like you still don't believe it. He's like, no, I do. And then I go, what do you think's going to happen when you guys play in whatever it was, week 13, week 14 13. Over the summer? And then he starts going, Ashley. And then this Ashley jumps on the phone and goes, Debo has to go to whatever camp he was at. He has to go to some camp. And he hung up the phone on me, and then I may have ripped him apart on the air. May have. Yeah, definitely did.
Yeah, this isn't a good look for Debo.
It wasn't. Now, guys like Torrey Smith were, like, trying to tell me how to interview. And they were saying, oh, you had one of the best wide receivers in the league. Like, you could have asked him different things. Like, I have a job to do.
Yeah,
and
you do your job.
I have members of the listening audience that were curious about his comments. He ran his mouth the entire offseason. So what, when I get him on in the summer, I'm not going to ask him about that?
Yeah, it was a question that had to be asked.
Yeah.
You know what needs to happen?
Mm-hmm.
He needs to come on and talk to somebody about these text messages. That's what the people need.
Need
to come and do that.
I may need to become best friends with a bunch of high school kids. Because I got a lot of numbers.
Oh, I want to talk to those kids, actually. That's who I want to hear from.
I don't have Debo's number, but I think I could get it if I end up calling up those high school kids. Get the number from Debo Samuel. But where is Ashley? I got to know Ashley. Where are you? Ashley needs to be with Debo 24/7. Remember when the Cowboys hired Dez, babysitter to follow Dez Bryant, a security guard?
Yep.
They need to hire Ashley 24/7, the 49ers, so Debo's not getting pranked by a bunch of high school kids. You're better than that, Debo. You're a great wide receiver, a great player. You can't be getting pranked by high school kids.
Not a good look. Debo took these screenshots down, right? These went down.
I think he did take them down.
I think he did take them
because he realized he got. And then I saw some video last night of this kid who had the number, called him. He's like shaking. He's like, oh, Debo, a lot of kids look up to you. And Debo's just like, yeah. Oh, Debo.
They got him.
Oh, Debo. I do kind of hope he gets to the Super Bowl and then drops like a pass to lose the game. That would be fun.
You are all about the karma hit.
He dropped my phone. He dropped my phone call. It'd be nice if he drops a ball in the big game.
Man, it's like that.
Petty.
It's not petty. It's I'm having a little fun. People had fun. I can't have fun.
You know what else needs to happen? You need to see him Super Bowl week. If they get the Super Bowl, you need to see him.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going.
I'm here for the drama. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. No, I've had Debo on in person before.
Yeah.
And I will say, going back to that incident, I did have a PR person, not named Ashley, reach out to me afterwards and apologize because they thought Debo was in the wrong.
Well, that was a good job.
Because they listened the entire interview and they knew like Debo from the jump. And I even tried to butter him up in the beginning. There was some viral video of him on a treadmill that was pretty cool. And I made like some joke like, oh, you know, I can't run 20 miles per hour.
Right.
And people were giving like crap for the video. They thought he should have been running faster. It was so stupid. And like we shared a laugh. And then after that, anything I asked him, he just wanted no part of the conversation.
Good job by the
you know
at
what?
Least the PR team.
I take that back. I want Debo to win Super Bowl MVP. But Super Bowl week, I want him to be there.
I want the meeting to go down.
Yeah. Hey, Debo, you remember hanging up on a talk show host this summer? Hey, it's me. How you doing, buddy? CBS Sports Radio host gets his credentials revoked at the Super Bowl. Wow.
You'll be good. Just the lesson out here is anybody can get got. You can get catfished. That's the lesson here.
And, you know what? I did interview Manti Te'o once about his girlfriend who never existed.
There you go.
Linnea Kakua, I believe her name.
You remember
was.
How that went? Yeah.
Zach Gelb Show, PSA coming up next. Update time. Here is Dexter Henry.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick.
From the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back, all right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Today's memorable moment is sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacist Joe Flacco is starting tonight for the Browns against the Jets. But just 14 months ago, Flacco was in green when the two sides last faced off, tossing four touchdown passes, two of which came with less than 90 seconds to go, including a dramatic 15-yard score to Garrett Wilson with 22 seconds left as the Jets pulled out a stunning 31-30 win. And as far as the game tonight, I'll do a little same-game parlay. I'll take the Browns money line, Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown, and then Breece Hall over 3.5 receptions. That is at plus 342 in the odds department. But it is a Thursday. Let's get to a Zach Gelb Show, PSA.
Warning. Warning.
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Hey! All righty, I told you I'm meeting up with some pals tonight. We're going to a good wing joint. We're going to get some wings. Here's my PSA. If you prefer ranch over blue cheese, I don't like you. Also, if when you order wings, you say, I want all flats, I got a big problem with that. Because you should rather say you would want all drumsticks. The best way to eat wings, drumsticks, blue cheese, and a ton of hot sauce. That is the Zach Gelb Show PSA on how to properly eat wings. And if you ever use a fork and a knife, and then you have ranch, and then you got flats with your wings, that's a big time problem. A huge problem. And I think of you in just a different way. All right, that's my PSA.
All right, I guess I'll go next. This is the bowl season in college football. There are 43 total bowls. We've gotten the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, the ReliaQuest Bowl, the Gasparilla Bowl.
Huh? There's a Pop-Tarts Bowl.
There is. There's a 68 Ventures Bowl.
What's your favorite Pop-Tart, by the way?
Bowl. Say again?
Favorite Pop-Tart.
I don't know. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in 25 years.
I haven't had Pop-Tarts in forever, but I was a fat kid growing up. I loved me a s'mores Pop-Tart.
Mm. I don't think I've ever had one. I might have to knock it out.
Yeah, you got to try
a
s'mores
Pop-Tart. Like raspberry and strawberry, but I don't
you know what? I'll buy you a s'mores Pop-Tart. I would have bought you dinner and a Pop-Tart. You still haven't gotten me the dinner that you owe me in a bet, you weasel.
Eventually, it's going to happen. But so my PSA is this.
Come on, hold my breath.
People who whine and bitch and complain about too many bowl games. Oh, there's too many bowl games. Nobody cares. It's boring. You know what? The fans of the teams like it. The players, for the most part, seem to like it. The ones who don't want to play in it,
they opt out,
and they sit around and they prepare for the draft. No one's getting hurt. There's no problems. The TV's put it on. It's content. The stadiums and the local affiliates and the local areas seem to like it. What's the problem? Stop whining. Stop bitching. It's college football. It's fun. The names are silly.
And gamble on it.
I'm cool. Gamble on it. It's something better. What else are you watching right now? The NBA? Come on.
Hey, you watch the Pistons lose 400 games in a row and Kevin Durant went off on another team? You're
That's my PSA.
All righty, Carlos with the K. What do you got cooking?
My PSA is all to all the strap hangers out there. Get out of the damn way when people are getting off the train.
Oh.
You don't need to rush the doors. It's not the neutral zone, all right? You're not on a snap count. Get out of the way. Let the people get off the train so we can get on it. And if you're waiting for me to move out of the way so you can get on, that's the wrong answer because I'm waiting for the train to clear out.
Do you just take up too much space?
No, I'm not that big of a guy. I'm not one of the pillars that's holding up the platform.
You know what? Carlos actually sounds like a really intelligent person. There was someone with the Zach Gelb Show PSA. I can't remember who it was who had the same PSA a few weeks ago.
The exact same PSA. Now, it's not Carlos's fault. He's not listening to every moment of every show, even though he should be, even when he's not here.
Well, two great minds think alike.
But Stu Kovacs had the...
No, it was actually me.
It was you? No, Stu had that.
No, Stu had something with his backpack.
Oh, mine, that was yours?
Mine was, it annoys the crap out of me, just like Carlos.
It's so annoying.
When the doors open, you're trying to exit, and all the people are trying to enter just like storm the train. It's like, and Carlos and I, we're not small people. It's like, hello, I know you could see me. I'm trying to move. If I wanted to, and I stick my elbow out, you're going to hit the floor. So get the bleep out of the way.
Yeah, I will definitely box you out, and I will stand firm. So let the people out of the way. That's my PSA.
You got a little Carlos Boozer to you. I could see that. Boxing out, grabbing some rebounds, throwing some elbows. Oh, that's true. Carlos with a K. But he's Carlos with a C, right?
He's Carlos with a C.
Yeah, every other Carlos is wrong.
Well, that's not true. But anyway, that's all the time we have today on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'd like to thank Dante Moncrief for joining us, Todd Blackledge as well. We'll be back tomorrow. We will recap another elite Joe Flacco victory. The Cleveland Browns are going to be getting 11 wins after tonight ends. Watch, I'll probably jinx them if that's the case. Well, you could tune in tomorrow. We'll see how we react to it. But we got to do a full college football playoff preview tomorrow. We got Alabama. We got Michigan. We got Texas. We got Washington. Forget about all those other bowl games that Santa just told you to care about. We got two that we have to preview tomorrow. All right, have a great day, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.